of the House Judiciary Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it's 1:06 p.m. on Monday, January 30th, 2012. Present today are Representatives Lynn, Representative Keller, Representative Lewis, Representative Grunberg, Representative Holmes, myself, Representative Thompson, and let the record also reflect that Chair Gatto was excused from the committee for today. Before we start, please turn off your cell phones, and just turning them to vibrate will still interfere with the recording system. Thank you. I would like to again, before we start, let you know that I am presenting a bill next door in resources, so when I get the high sign, I'm going to turn the gavel over to Representative Keller for a few minutes while I run next door and then come back. At today's meeting, we will be hearing House Bill 216, an act relating to deadlines in bills directing the adoption of regulations and to the informative summary required for the proposed adoption, amendment, or repeal of a regulation, sponsored by Representative Peggy Wilson. It is my intention today to hear the bill initially and take it up again when Chair Gatto is back. There is a CS from the sponsor. Can I have a motion to bring the CS for HB 216?
Mr. Chair, I move to bring a CS for HB 216, version 2C, Gulf Hotel 1840 Echo, before the committee for the purpose of discussion.
Mr. Chair, I will object for the purpose of discussion and would ask that we, since I'm not sure this is going to be the final CS we're going to be looking at, maybe we not adopt it one way or the other, but we use it as a discussion purpose.
Discussion on version E?
Yeah.
Amendment? Yeah. Further discussion on?
No, I'm because I don't know the difference, and I was talking to the folks from the Department of Law earlier, and I know this is kind of still a work in progress.
Representative Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I just moved that version E be in front of us for discussion.
No objection to that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so your objection is withdrawn?
Right.
Okay. Hearing no further objections, version E will be before the committee for discussion. Here to present House Bill 216 is the sponsor, Representative Wilson. Please place your name on the record and give the committee an overview of House Bill 216.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the record, I am Peggy Wilson, representative for House District 2. House Bill 216 will ensure regulations are completed in a timely manner and will provide easily understood regulations of the understood descriptions of the new regulations and or proposed changes to current regulations. Now, you have before you version E. It incorporates two amendments from the State Affairs Committee and changes that were suggested by the Department of Law. And I will point out the changes after I explain the bill. House Bill 216 deals with two issues with the process of creating or changing state regulations. The first issue is that the state agencies often don't get regulations written and adopted in a timely manner. Occasionally, an effective date will come and go without the regulation even in place, leaving those affected unable to move forward with their business dealings or their plans. The second is that generally members of the public and many legislators just don't understand what the proposed regulations or the changes mean, and they are therefore unable or unwilling to comment on the proposed changes. This confusion is caused by the legalese that is used to describe proposed regulations or changes to them. In order to respond to these two problems, House Bill 216 has two sections. Section 1 sets a specific time by which a regulation must be written and adopted. This will help businesses and individuals plan related activities by making it clear when they expected the new regulations to be in effect. Section 2 requires that state agencies provide a descriptive summary of proposed changes written in plain English, understandable English, to accompany notifications. This will make it much easier for legislators and the public to understand the proposed changes in regulations. The public will be better informed and are more likely to participate in the government process. The descriptions do not need to be lengthy, depending on the complexity of the regulation, and will not be legally binding. We have worked closely with the Attorney General's Office and the State Affairs Committee members to create the new version before you. The first change was made because some boards and commissions, while they meet infrequently, now many of them only meet once a year, and so it'd be hard for them to do something like that. And so we're going to exempt boards and commissions. But the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game and the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, they already have their own deadlines for when they have to do things. They're well-defined timelines for developing or updating their regulations. And the bill has been modified to exempt in that portion, the timeline portion, all boards and commissions. It was pointed out that the cost to some agencies could be considerable when inserting long summaries in newspapers, because most of us read notices either in an email message or on the Internet. Section 2 has been modified to specifically target electronic notifications, and that's because when they put a notification in the newspaper, they have to pay per word, and so we exempted the newspaper. In the newspaper, they would say, refer to their website, and then it would be in plain English. Language has also been inserted that will limit the liability of state agencies if their publications and summaries are misunderstood by a citizen. In other words, if we say that they have to be understood, you know, in plain English, well, somebody could say, well, golly, I didn't understand it that way, and we don't want that to happen, have any kind of a lawsuit because of that, so we put that in. Applicability language was added, making it clear that this bill will only affect regulations that are adopted, amended, or repealed after the date of the effective date of this act. Now, the bill addresses new regulations as well as changes or repeals of standing regulations instead of only changes and repeals. So at first we were just going to say, as changes come up, but then we've through discussion with the State Affairs Committee, they felt that whether it's a new regulation or whether an old regulation is getting changed, it needs to be so that everybody can understand it. I believe we have a bill that will help legislators and the public better understand what each department means as they implement new or current or change current regulations. It also does another thing. It allows legislators to know if a regulation being put in place really implements the intent when the legislation was passed. So we do need to pursue this effort to make changes to the process currently in use for how we adopt, amend, or repeal regulations. Making this process more user-friendly will help legislators and the public better understand the why to the regulations. Thank you for this opportunity to present House Bill 216 before your committee, and I welcome any questions.
Does the committee have any questions for the sponsor, Representative Lynn?
Thank you for bringing this bill forward, but how do you define in plain language, and would that put, with apologies to a couple of committee members, or would that put attorneys out of business?
This one, I'm retired.
Seriously, how does one define plain English?
Well, in this instance, the way they're written now, they just use legalese. In other words, they say in Alaska Statute 282.32.194, there's going to be a change, and that's about all it says. And that doesn't tell us anything. And even if we go look at it, that doesn't help us because we don't know what the change is. So this is going to put it in words that a lawyer doesn't have to, you know, that if you're not a lawyer, you won't understand, you know. So it puts it in plain English so the normal, everyday person can understand it.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Keller?
thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wilson, I just drifted a little bit while you were talking there, but I'd like to know what you were saying about the newspaper. You said they are not specified in the bill. Is that what you said?
Well, because we're taking out newspaper for the simple reason that When they announce it in the newspaper, they have to pay per word. And if they have to go into all this summary, it would cost a lot more. And so the agencies themselves have complained because it would cost a lot more. And so what we have said, that they don't have to put it in the newspaper copy, but they have to put it in the other copies, you know, in the electronic.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm going to have a few questions here for the sponsor, and some of them might be more. I see we have somebody from the Department of Law who will be testifying, so feel free to punt if you want me to get into legalese with an attorney. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to be clear from the get-go that all of my questions go to the functionality of the bill. I think I like what you're trying to accomplish here. Even though I'm a lawyer, my eyes start to cross when I read a description of something, and all it is cross-references to statutes and municipal codes, and you've got six statute books in front of you, and you're going back and forth. And, you know, that's not very readable to anybody. So I like where you're headed, so please don't misunderstand when I get into questions. Some of these I think I might go ahead and defer until we get the Department of Law on. So let me just quick.
Oh. And maybe we could have the Department of Law come up now so that if I, you know, one of us can answer. Okay. You know, that might be the...
That would be so efficient.
Yeah.
I would
Weaver,
love
would
that
you,
if
you here to come
with
forward
the chairman's permission.
And also Terry Bannister, Mr. Chairman, Terry Bannister is online to answer any questions. And she can only be online till 1:30, so maybe if you have questions for her, you know.
Mr. Chairman, are we calling up the Department of Law?
Yes, please. Mr. Weaver. Mr. Weaver is the Assistant Attorney General.
Don't run away, Peggy.
There we are.
That works better.
Representative Thompson, thank you very much. For the record, my name is Steve Weaver. I'm an Assistant Attorney General for the Department of Law for the State of Alaska.
Thank you. Representative Holmes, do you have a question?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I got a handful of them, if you don't mind.
Ahead.
I was just going to walk sort of sequentially through the bill.
Go right ahead through each of them.
All right. Well, my first question is going to be page 1, line 5. This bill applies, it says, a bill that directs an agency in the executive branch of state government to adopt regulations. Does the, for it to be under this, would the bill have to actually explicitly require an agency to adopt regulations, or could that be sort of implied in the language?
Through the chair, this would be a question that we could get back to you in more detail on if you're interested. Ordinarily, most statutes contain a provision that explicitly grants an agency authority to adopt regulations on a subject, and that would be presumably the first step. The concept of implied authority gets more complicated.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I might want to follow up on that concept at some point. I just want to make sure we're clear as the legislature because my second question goes to the end of that sentence or the end of that line 6. It says that a bill must set certain things. And so I guess my question is, do we want to require the legislature in every bill under this to set a timeline for regulations, or do we simply want to allow the legislature to set timelines? And that's a question for the sponsor to ponder, whether she wants us to say that any bill that falls under this has to have a timeline. Because, for instance, I might pass a bill and I might not know how long it should take. And so that's something that I just raised for discussion.
Do you have a question on that particular one?
I don't know if the sponsor had thoughts off the top of her head about whether she wants to make it mandatory for us to include timelines in all bills that have regulations.
I just think that in bills that have to have a fiscal note, that they should say the department should know if it's going to take longer to do those regulations. And like if it's a oil and gas bill, it's probably going to take longer than it would be if it was just a bill that simply says that something is going to happen and a simple change. Where if we change taxes, that involves a lot of different things. So I think it depends on the bill itself, and I think that there will probably end up being a few things that we'll have to change on it after we get it in working to see how what in reality takes place. But my thoughts now are that each bill, and I talked with someone from that did fiscal notes, and they were even thinking that on the fiscal note they could note on there what they thought would, how long it would take. And so it doesn't have to be in the bill itself, just a general idea of how long it would take them if they have to make regulations or change them.
Okay, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, if I may continue. That's something that I think it may be that the way it's written right now, it actually requires, I think just the way it's written, I think that makes a lot of sense. We just might want to look at the language a little bit, because I think the way it's written right now, it would require every bill that needs regulations to have a timeline in it, and we might not, that might not be the intention, so that's just a language. And I guess my next question, Mr. Chairman.
So I've understood right, you're going to get back with the committee on that, what the language actually says. Is that what you said, Mr. Weaver?
Chair Keller, I believe Representative Holmes, your specific question was whether it would apply, whether that would apply if a bill did not say something explicit as to regulations adoption authority. I could get an answer to that question for you. It's just that most bills, in fact, contain under state of Alaska law, an explicit grant of regulations adoption authority, and that's under the case law generally the initial base requirement for an agency to adopt regulations. I mean, there's some very narrow exceptions, but
and Mr. Chairman, I guess that we were on to the next part of the question, which is the word must here mm-hmm. would require that the bill have a timeline in it. Is my understanding.
My understanding, the way I would read this bill, through the chair, the way I would read this bill is that must, yes, would require the legislature to do that.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, I was mostly flagging that for the sponsor because I'm not entirely sure that that's her intent. So that might be something that Ledge Legal can help us us play with.
Thank
You're
you.
You're talking about the word must on page 2, line 3.
Representative Grunberg, did you have a question?
No, Mr.
I didn't.
He was asking for clarification of my.
What word must? Where is that word?
Page 1, line 6.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I could, just to clarify and make sure I understand, the way this is written in the sentence as I see it, is this is only applies to a bill that specifically directs the branch to come up with. And you're saying that it's a narrow. There's only a few bills that don't specifically direct when there's a regulation required. There's a few exceptions to that. And so, and I'm just trying to understand, because I read this, I was thinking there was a whole lot more than just a narrow group of bills that didn't specifically require regulation. And I, you know, that regulation is something that the agency might do. And then if that was the case, if they might, you know, create regulation to fulfill the will of a bill and it isn't specified in here, then this would not apply, right, the way it's written?
Through the chair, that is a question I can get more details on. One of the things is that under Alaska law, the courts have to be able to find some sort of grant of authority generally to adopt regulations. So if that authority isn't there, then you don't get past square one on that issue. If there are one or two cases where they have read this broad authority into language which refers to regulations, if you want some more details on that, I can send this committee something very quickly on that.
Thank you. Representative Holmes, you have more questions?
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have had on a number of occasions questions as I was drafting legislation whether we specifically had to put a provision in a bill that the agency shall adopt regulations to implement this section. And I have been told repeatedly by our alleged legal that whatever agency it was had a general grant of authority. And so I think before you, through the chair, Mr. Weaver, before you answer that question, it's going to take some considerable looking at. And not just in the section that gives the Department of Natural Resources or whatever it is general regulatory authority, but sometimes the authority may be, or lack of authority, may be in a different code, maybe in Title 44 or something else. That is a very complex question. And my own thought would be that a bill that establishes a program, this is really ambiguous, because the bill itself might give the authority, but the overall statute might not. But the overall statutory scheme might well do it. And to effectuate, I'm looking at Representative Wilson here now, that to effectuate your purpose, you might not just want to say bill, but you might want to say if an agency in the executive branch must adopt regulations to implement legislation. So you put it in a more general sense. I think that may well be the best policy, but you don't want to just limit it to, quote, the bill. Otherwise, you'll spawn litigation, if nothing else.
Representative Wilson, you wanted to respond?
Mr. Chairman, and that came up, and I do want the word must to be in there. But I think maybe if Representative Bloomberg has a good idea there, that if they must do the regulations or change a regulation, I think that would take care of that. And because what we're coming up against, and for instance, was last year in resources when we were discussing changing the oil taxes, and we wanted to compare ACES and how it's doing with the new bill. And we found out that the regulations hadn't even been written yet. And it had been like 2-3 years, you know. And so we couldn't compare apples with apples. And that's probably one of the reasons that the other body said they didn't have all the facts and they wanted to wait until this year to look at it, because we could not actually compare apples with apples. And that's when I decided, whoa, we have got to, you know, and so the companies too at that time, so how do we pay if the regulations aren't even written yet? And so they weren't sure how to do it. And so I want to get away from that. If we're going to put something into effect, then we've got to make sure that the regulations go along with it when we say, well, as of January 1st, this bill comes into effect. We've got to make sure then that those regulations are done by then also. And so that's the main reason that the timeline I felt was very important. So that clarifies a little bit more where I'm coming from with putting that in. And then I had already thought about, you know, when I'm trying to figure out, when I get all these notices, when they're trying to tell me what's happening, I look at them, and I can't figure it out. And I'm thinking, well, you know, that's kind of, if I can't figure it out, I know that the normal citizen can't figure it out either. And so we need to make the rule should be so that the normal, everyday person can at least halfway figure out what they mean when they're going to change something or when they're going to put something in like that. And so that's why we need to. So that people know the why for the regulation itself.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, we'll move on to my next question then. I'm still on page one. The subsection 2 from lines 8 to line 10 basically says that a bill under this section would have to provide that if it's not able to meet the deadline, it's going to report to the Admin Reg Review Committee why it can't. I'm wondering if there's not maybe a better way that our drafters can help us to frame this, because right now it looks to me like you have to actually put that language in each bill that says, here's the timeline, you know, here's the bill, we're giving them authorization to do regulations, they have to do the regulations by this particular time, and if they don't do the regulations, they have to tell Admin Reg Review why not. I'm wondering if we can't have kind of a catch-all statute that doesn't say that that needs to be provided in the bill. Maybe our Mr. Weaver can help me on whether I'm reading that section correctly, that it looks like that language would have to actually be in each bill, that subsection 2.
Mr. Weaver? Is that?
Through the chair, we would certainly be happy to offer additional technical suggestions. We've been working back and forth with the sponsor's office with various technical suggestions, and if there are technical adjustments that could assist in making the bill more readable or workable, we'd be happy to do that. The Legislative Affairs Agency attorney is also available if fixes of that sort are necessary.
Thank you.
Representative Wilson, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have made several changes, and it's been a little difficult to get bill drafter and the Department of Law on the same page. So we've had to, you know, the Department of Law will come in and say, well, you put it this way. Then when I talk to the bill drafter says, well, I think it's better to do it this way. And so it's been a little hard to decide exactly how to get it down. So we'll work on some of that. So in that specific part, we'll see if we can come up something that makes it more clear. And Chair, is it Terry, the bill drafter, is also listening in on this, and I'm hoping she is taking notes also.
And I have just a couple of follow-up on the same issue.
Or? Representative Grunberg.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wilson, in State Affairs, I suggested we look at the statute that requires fiscal notes and amend that to state that if regulations will be necessary, that in the fiscal note form there be a line indicating when the agency would expect to be able, how much time it would take to do the regs. So I would recommend that when you come up with your next CS or whatever, that you amend that also to do it. And then the phrase in the bill could be modified, for example, to say in the bill or fiscal notes.
Go ahead, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want us to have to put it in the bill. You know, in each bill.
Yeah.
So if we can put it on the fiscal note and that they know that, what I'll do is I'll talk with them to see if they will automatically start doing it or if we have to put it in statute.
Mr. Chair, if I may respond.
Follow-up question.
I strongly recommend we put it in the statute to provide guidance. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you have no assurance they'll do it.
Representative Holmes, another question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and our bill sponsor will be happy to hear. She actually answered a couple of my questions in her presentation of the bill, so I only have two more. four more. Now I only have two. I'm on page 2 now, looking around line 6 and 7, and this is just a suggestion. It says, an easily readable language that a person without a legal background is able to understand without following internet links to the Alaska Administrative Code. Instead of saying without following internet links, I would say without cross-referencing Alaska Administrative Code, because it may be internet links, it might be looking through a statute book. I might just say something like cross-referencing Administrative Code or statutes. And then my final question is, I guess, more for the Department of Law. I know that they've done a lot of work on this issue, and one of the issues coming out of State Affairs, that one of the things they wanted Judiciary to look at was the question of, by putting these sort of plain language summaries, are we open ourselves up to litigation if they don't really track the legalese? And that last sentence on line 7 through 9, notwithstanding AS 4462-300, an action may not be brought for failure of the notice to comply with the requirements of this subsection. Is that broad enough to get any type of lawsuit we're worried for failure of the notice to comply with the requirements of this subsection? Is that all-encompassing enough to get all the potential types of lawsuits that we might be worrying about by putting sort of non-technical summaries out there?
Mr. Weaver.
Through the chair, this is Steve Weaver responding. We have not had, of course, because the committee substitute came out this afternoon, we have not had the opportunity to examine it closely. This is language that is in here that was not in previous committee substitutes. To that extent, it is an improvement on the situation. And once we have had the chance to examine the bill in detail, we'll be able to get you a better response.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that's just, I know that that was the intent of State Affairs and the intent of the sponsor. And so I just saw it for the first time myself. I agree. It's a vast improvement. And I would like to reiterate my offer to the sponsor to help in any way I can with having thrown all these questions at her. I'm happy to help with the follow-up as well.
Further questions, Representative Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question mark on that last sentence also. And I could see litigation because an agency had failed entirely to do regs. And it wouldn't be necessarily a suit for damages, but a suit for what's called mandamus or an injunction requiring the agency to comply with the Wilson bill. And I think I would recommend that that you carefully look at that language with Representative Holmes or me or whoever you want, not just the tort section, who would like to insulate the state from any kind of litigation on any subject. But let me give you an example. In about 1987 or 89, the legislature passed the first ignition interlock bill. It happened to be my bill. And there was a fight between corrections and public safety on who would have to implement the regulations. And they both fought like heck. And the third floor could not make a decision, didn't make a decision. And by that time, I had lost my seat and was back in private practice. I had to write a letter threatening a suit before they solved the issue and wrote the regs. And it wasn't anything other than implementing the law. So I am a little sensitive. I think you should maybe, as you guys look at it in law and you look at it with Terry Bannister, carefully craft that language.
Further questions of the committee? Mr. Weaver, do you have a comment on that?
Through the chair, Chair Thompson, no, I just said thank you for that. Wanted to thank Representative Greenberg for that remark, and that, yes, we will be looking at the language very carefully.
All right. Representative Keller.
Since we have a little time, I'm going to ask for your indulgence. I want to go back to Representative Holmes' second question, page 1, lines 8 through 10. I thought I understood when you asked the question, but I want to know what was your concern that reporting is not specific or not enough that needs to be done, or why did you raise the question?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, if I may, for clarification, this was my question on lines 8 through 10?
Yes.
My question was that it appeared from the language that every time we passed a bill that required regulations, that we would actually have to put the language in each bill that said if they weren't able to meet the deadlines, they would have to report it to the Admin Reg Review Committee. I figured we could probably have a catch-all statute that said that, you know, any timeline that was required under 2408045, that they had to, that they would have to, if they couldn't meet the deadline, they would have to report the Admin Reg Review. That we could sort of have one statute that said that once instead of having to sprinkle it and include it in every bill that we ever passed. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Representative Keller. Representative Greenberg.
I would second what Representative Holmes said, in addition to the fiscal note thing. So we have something that amends the fiscal note statute and also a catch-all that states that they must notify the committee when they can't do it. And Representative Keller, are you still the chair of that committee?
No.
Well, I
can I answer?
Representative Keller, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To answer that question, it's a joint committee, House and Senate, and moves back and forth every session. Right now, the committee is chaired by a senator.
But you're on it?
Not this year.
Oh, okay. But what I was thinking is it's a committee that meets irregularly, not very much. And it doesn't, as I recall, have a lot of statutory authority. And I'm just wondering, and I would defer to the folks who are serving and have served on that committee, whether that's a task they'd be willing to undertake, because given all the statutes, all the regulations, all the departments, that is going to, at least arithmetically, if not geometrically, increase the jurisdiction and the workload of that committee. I think there are only three senators and three representatives on it, and I don't know how much of a staff they have, but from a practical point of view, I think they at least ought to take a look at this formally, or, you know, the members. That was a note. And the other thing, if I may.
Go ahead, Representative Greenberg.
On page 10, unable to meet the specific.
Line 10?
Line 10.
Thank okay.
I have that problem. I sometimes say the wrong thing. As my wife would be quick to point out. As well as being unable to meet the specific time set in the bill, I think you should also say, and to indicate when the new deadline should be or something. So not only do you have, well, we can't do it because of the press of other business, but they should have to provide also a new prospective deadline.
Are there any other questions from the committee for the sponsor?
Oh, I have one. I'm sorry.
Representative Greenberg has one more question.
Thank you. And I'm just wondering, for either Mr. Weaver or Ms. Bannister, if she's still on the line, on page 1, line 14, is state agency defined in some place that covers 4462-200? Excuse me.
For the chair, I can answer that question. State agency is defined in AS 4462-640.
And may I have that definition through the chair?
It's.
I guess. I'm sorry, I've got it. Okay, 4462, what is it?
640.
640.
Here, let me give this to you, so that, if I may, so that you can read it into the record.
Through the chair, may I read this into the record?
Go right ahead, Mr. Weaver.
This is Alaska Statute 4462-640, subsection A, paragraph 4. State agency means a department, office, agency, or other organizational unit of the executive branch, except when expressly excluded by law, but does not include an agency in the judicial or legislative branches of the state government.
Representative Greenberg.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Weaver. Back to what Representative Wilson was saying about excluding, I believe, occupational licensing boards. My question is, do you wish to exclude them entirely, or do you wish to give them a little longer to do the regs? Because I could foresee one or more of these boards just ignoring the Wilson bill otherwise. And I don't think you want to do that. I think you may wish to craft something that would give them or some method of having the time they needed. But I know we have a bill going through that deals with the practice of naturopathy. And the reason it's going through has to do with what they can prescribe. And apparently the agency has recently narrowed the scope of what naturopaths can prescribe, and they are no longer able to prescribe herbal remedies or something like that. But it would seem to me that if you want to prevent things coming up out of left field years later or whatever, or some other procedure, you should either prescribe some kind of a time or some kind of a method of allowing in an individual case so that that's set and people can calendar it and tickle it so that you're sure and there can be monitoring. That's through the chair to the sponsor of the bill.
Representative Wilson?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, are you suggesting that we require everyone to have a timeline, but if that board or commission only meets once a year, say, then you'll give them a year to do their regulations?
Through the chair. That would be one way of doing it. I would leave it to you to see what you would want to have in the bill. But I don't think it's good if you really want to have this set out and have some teeth in this, that you exempt all of these 20 or 30 regulatory for licensing. Otherwise, we've just gone through with occupational licensing an audit because they were overcharging the realtors a lot of money and stuff. And you probably remember that.
I do.
This has got a lot of facets. I'm glad we're not moving it today, but I think that you can get a real handle on this and figure maybe with the director of OCC licensing or the boards or how you want to do it. I'm not going to make that.
I have comments just before the meeting today, Mr. Chairman, that we might want to make sure that we do follow certain boards or commissions. For instance, because the Alaska Housing Authority is taking care of a lot of the oil and gas project right now, that maybe we should not exclude them. ADA, because they do state things for us as a legislative branch, and we have state entities that they fund that maybe we shouldn't exempt them. So there are, I do request that if there's anybody on the committee that has a commission or a board that you think should not be exempted, to let me know in the next day or so, so that by the next time we hear this bill, I can put that into the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg, follow up.
Thank you. Having been primarily concerned with the work of this committee for a number of years, I would, for one, wouldn't know a lot of these boards and the details. It may be that you'll want to seek input from other members of the legislature who aren't among the seven of us, but who sit on the committees that oversight that, like the university or whatever. I can see jockeying by agencies to exempt themselves and jockeying by legislators to include themselves. I think it's the chance of getting things right is best the first time rather than having fix-it legislation, which will get up into politics and who knows what. So maybe you can, through your staff, see what other legislators want to do, because I'm not going to say I know.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is going to be more of a comment than a question. I'm assuming that the bill is going to pick up a finance referral based on the indeterminate fiscal note. I wasn't going to get into the fiscal note because, generally speaking, that's not what we do in this committee, and that's not why the bill was sent here. But there is a note, is an indeterminate fiscal note that says we do believe the impact would be extensive. And so I'm assuming, and I'm more than happy to defer that discussion to the people who are in charge of that, but I just wanted to make sure that at some point, if for some reason it's not going to go to finance, we should probably have that discussion here. But since we'll be having the bill back in front of us, we have time to chase that to ground.
Absolutely. Further questions of the sponsor from the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much, Representative Grunberg.
No, we can always come back. Okay. I just want to be sure of that.
Thank you very much, Representative Wilson and Mr. Weaver, for presenting House Bill 216. I will now open this up to public testimony. We have some people online, and I assume we'll probably have some people in the audience also. First, we have Kathy Wasserman. You're president. Yes, you are.
Two of us.
Yes, please put your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll listen to your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Kathy Wasserman, the Executive Director of the Alaska Municipal League.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Ray Gillespie. I'm a lobbyist for the Alaska Municipal League.
Mr. Chairman, and I'll let Ray jump in when he thinks I've either get off track or wants to add something. First of all, the Alaska Municipal League does support House Bill 216. I think Representative Gruenberg's suggestion was very good about regulation, period. And I just want to give you a little brief story of what happened to us with regards to what this bill would try to affect. In late 2010, the Alaska Public Offices Commission proposed some changes. 125 pages, double-sided. There are absolutely no track changes. It's just simply the proposed regulations. My job, Ray Gillespie's job, is to keep municipalities aware of things that impact local government through policy, regulation, statute changes, anything. I'm sorry, but I don't have time to go home or go to the Alaska State Library with all of the documents and cross-reference and try to find out where the changes are in 125 pages. So at the time, in late 2010, we contacted, Ray and I both at separate times, contacted APOC and asked if we could please have some track changes. We were told by the staff that they were not allowed to answer any questions because we had some questions about the changes, and they said no, they could not. They had been instructed not to clarify any of those changes because it would give us a leg up on the rest of the public who had never called to request clarification. So I couldn't very well let our municipalities know something that has a big impact on them. None of us want to be in the newspaper because we did not abide properly by the rules of APOC, right or wrong, especially if you have not done anything. You don't want that trailing. So we were not able to track the changes. We requested that they do that. They said no, they didn't have the money and certainly didn't have the time to do that sort of thing. So we contacted a local attorney here in town, Mr. James Baldwin, and wrote a contract with him, and he provided the side-by-side changes for us at well over $8,000. So it may be expensive to the state, but it was certainly expensive to us. We then provided that to all the municipalities and to a number of the legislators who also were having questions as to the APOC changes. At the same time, we wrote a letter to Representative Keller, who was then serving on the Legislative Review Board, and to the governor, and told him about our concerns. And we did get a letter back from the governor where he specifically said, "However, I too am concerned about the public's inability to understand the changes without provision of a crosswalk or comparison documentation." Meanwhile, with reference to the speed with which side-by-sides are given, finally, after some input from, I believe, the governor's office, APOC finally, 3 weeks after we came out with the side-by-side, came out with a page and a half, I believe, of reference to the regulations. Anyway, it made it very difficult to get information to our members. So due to that alone, we are very much in favor of 216. Ray, do you have anything to add to?
Oh, thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, sir.
Chairman. Thank you. I would just add that it was pretty frustrating. I'm a lawyer by training. I haven't practiced law in some time, but I looked at this, and it's a daunting task for me to go through there and compare line by line the statutes or the existing regulations with the new proposed regulations. And on two different occasions, we requested the APOC to provide an explanation. On two occasions they refused. It was only 2 months later, after Kathy and I spent a lot of time and effort enlisting support from the governor's office and legislators, that APOC came up with an 8.5-page explanation of their summary. So my personal professional feeling is that anything that helps the public, makes this regulatory adoption process more user-friendly, is laudable. And I know there are some technical issues, but I think it is worth the effort so the public, when they have an opportunity to testify or to comment, it's meaningful because they understand the changes that are being made. Without an understanding of the changes, you're not going to get any comments. And the public is then surprised when they learn after the regulations have been adopted that what was in the proposed changes. So with that, I would particularly endorse the notion that an easily understandable, readable version of any proposed regulations be mandatory. With respect to the cost to the agency of preparing something that's easily readable and understandable, they have some very talented lawyers in the Department of Law, and if sometimes they contract that out. As they're going through and rewriting the regulations, it wouldn't be too difficult to underline and bracket the changes similar to what the legislature does with legislation. And with that, I'll conclude my comments.
Questions? Representative Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you're focusing in the new CS. Ray, do you have that new CS?
I do.
Okay. Page 2, line 4, the phrase brief description. Because who knows what a, quote, brief description would be. It would help me, anyway, and I don't know about Representative Wilson, if somebody, maybe you guys could come up with some language that would, in legislative style, or maybe the Ledge Legal could do that. I think that the regs should have to, or the description should be made available, should be something in legislative style, or and maybe even a narrative or something, because like APOC is a poster child, that would require some considerable discussion. Now, it may be a regulation as one word and not as nothing, but a lot of these regs, and I refer to the department we know and love, the Division of Insurance. They come out with obscure regulations. It seems like insurance and fish and game run this state, at least regulation-wise. But we get them all the time. And I don't watch the fish and game, with all due respect to the chair here. But I do look at the insurance division, and they came out with some regs over the summer. And I wrote them, and I have yet to receive a response from Linda Hall, who may be listening, and I hope she responds, I am right with you, and I think we need to have some language in there, or this will be lost in the morass. I'm looking at this bunch here.
Representative Holmes.
Oh, I don't know if they want
to
reply.
Did you like to reply to the
Representative? Representative Greenberg, through the chair. I note that eventually, in 2 months after the original draft proposed regulations that were some 156 pages long, 2 months later, the Alaska Public Offices Commission did publish a summary, and they distilled 156 pages down into 7.5 pages, which actually provided some useful information, although it wasn't perfect. It was a big improvement on 156 pages of draft regulations. Thank you.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I think Representative Greenberg hit on some pretty critical language there, the words brief description on page 2, line 4, because what I heard you describing were two different things that you would find helpful, and what we want to do is make this legislation helpful. I'm looking at the sponsor over Kathy's shoulder. We want to make this helpful. So I guess my question to you guys is, as we're working on this, if we can figure out flesh that out a little. I mean, one part is we're talking about basically a red line from old to new, which might be helpful to some people. Certainly isn't in plain language non-legalese. So, this language that we have in the bill right now would not include any requirement for them to redline it. If that's something we want them to do as well, we ought to say that. And the other thing that I guess I've now didn't really catch my attention until Representative Grunberg started talking about it is, what does a brief description mean? Is that one sentence or is that seven pages? And so to the, I guess, since you're exactly the types of people that we want to be helping with this legislation, I would think, any help you can give us on a more descriptive language of what it is we're looking for would be great to make sure that we're actually getting what we're asking for. And then I had just one other quick, question, which is, I saw you concentrating a lot on this sort of part two, section two of the bill. Section one of the bill is the timelines. And I guess I'm just curious, you know, I wholeheartedly agree with you that it's really frustrating. I'm a lawyer too. I get all these regulations in my inbox. Most of the time I just kind of glance over them because it would take so much work for me to even figure out what's going on. It's not even worth it. I figure if it's that big a deal, somebody will start yelling and then I'll go back and do the side-by-side. So I think that would be very helpful. As for the timelines of setting the regulations, is that as big a deal for your agency and your clients, the setting of specific timelines for adopting regulations, or is that sort of a secondary issue for AML?
Representative Holmes, through the chair, I can't recall that when that has been an issue to us. I know there are times that things have not been done as quickly as we thought they might be, but to date, it has not ever arisen as an issue that I can take on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Keller.
You'll indulge me just a comment. The when I was chair of the ARRA, the Regulation Review, there's one thing I learned, and that is the legislature really needs to, there's a lot of work we have to do. It's on my radar screen. I plan to make this a top priority for myself because there's just so many, and we aren't, maybe we aren't keeping up as good as we should on number of regulations that come through. And this is true both, of course, state and federal. I just picked up a book, some of you may be interested in. It's Three Felonies a Day, and it's talking about the, this is federal. It's really kind of a tangent, so if you want to shut me up, I won't be offended. But it's talks about the federal regulations and how there are more and more ways to become a criminal that do not even require mens rea, and they are not a product of Congress, you know. And it's our responsibility as legislatures to write the laws, and there's more regulations in volume than there is Alaska statute. So, I mean, there's a disconnect here for the legislature that we need to pay close attention to, because those regulations are only meant to fulfill the intent of the law. And when we can't even understand, you know, what the regulations are, I'm not lecturing you. It's just you got me going. You know, when you mentioned that you brought it up to the attention of the Regulatory Review Committee, and I'll be the first to put on the record that we did not, to my standard, review every regulation that was made in the time that I was chair of the Regulatory Review Committee. And that bothers me, and I think that we need to proceed. And my recommendation to the sponsor of the bill was to expand this bill. But that's for what it's worth. So thank you for indulging me those comments.
All right. Any further questions of Ms. Wasserman or Mr. Gillespie? Yes, go right ahead, Ms. Wasserman.
Through the chair, Representative Keller, and I think your thoughts are well taken, and I guess I would say also that you as legislators and we as public involved in politics have not only one agency to watch, but, you know, watching like all of them. And while you're working at one agency, it might seem like your new regulation changes are the center of the earth, but to a lot of us, we're trying to watch all of them. And it seems if there was just a little bit of help, even brief, would be just wonderful to just help us so that it wasn't such a daunting task to have to just start to comb through everything.
Further questions? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, just one other comment. I just wanted to remind the committee that many of the local government elected officials are also volunteers, and they don't have the time to sift through these, so it's up to the people like AML to understand and advise them. And I think that's even greater reason to make these proposed regulations easily understandable to the general public.
Further questions from the committee? Ms. Wasserman, Mr. Gillespie, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
We have two other people online. They say that they have are there for questions only. It's Terry Bannister and Stephen Weaver. Oh, he was up here already. Correct. I got you. Kurt West was another one that was online. Does either one of you want to testify or just there for questions?
This is Terry Bannister to the chair. I'm just here for questions.
Okay. Looks like Representative Grunberg might have a question to one of you.
The gentleman in the back, Mr. West, if I could ask, whom do you represent?
Health and Social Services.
Oh, the department.
Yes.
I would ask Ms. Bannister, does she have anything that she would like to say to us?
Ms. Bannister?
Through the chair to Representative Grunberg, I don't have anything to add to what's been said today.
Thank you.
Representative Keller has a question.
Could I ask Steve if it's okay to come back up for a quick question?
Yes. Mr. Weaver?
And maybe, maybe you want to ask Mr. West to come too, but I was just wondering, with the Department of Law provides legal counsel to the different agencies in state government, and I want to understand, does APOC also rely on counsel of a Department of Law Assistant Attorney General, or do they use independent counsel? And I'm thinking a little bit here about the mission of APOC in relation to the executive and the legislative branch. If I hope that question will get you going anyway.
Go ahead, Mr. Weaver.
Through the chair, for the record, my name is Steve Weaver, Assistant Attorney General. The Department of Law provides assistance to agencies that are drafting regulations. Department of Law does not ordinarily or typically act as your legislative affairs agency attorneys would in terms of drafting as a routine practice. Sometimes they ask early on for agencies to review their work. Sometimes agencies will employ attorneys through contract. I believe that was the case with the Alaska Public Offices Commission. There are varying approaches, but as the experts in their field, it is most typically the agencies that take the first crack at drafting their regulations, and then they ask Assistant Attorneys General for review during the process as needed. It varies by agency.
Thank you, Steve. Through the chair.
Follow up, go right ahead, Rep.
So you're saying that there is a difference in the legal counsel for APOC than there is for other agencies, or is that... is it all pretty much the same? And you said under contract. Are there other agencies then that go to contract as opposed to the Department of Law?
Through the chair, other agencies go through contract. I can't speak for the involvement of the Department of Law in the contract process. If you wish for testimony on that, you might want to speak with one of our fiscal people on that. But some agencies do actually go out to contract and obtain the advice of contract attorneys or the drafting skills of contract attorneys when they prepare regulations.
Thank you. And if I could,
go right ahead,
just comment, no more questions. But part of the reason I asked was just to highlight some of the complexities here. And I believe the court system also writes regulations. And, it just seems like, this is a tangle of of issues, when the court system, I would assume that HB 216 does not apply to the court system, but maybe I'm wrong.
Through the chair, Section 2 of House Bill 16, as drafted, applied. Actually, I think both of them now, the most convenient
House Bill Section 2 has never applied because Section 2 amends a piece of the Administrative Procedure Act, and the definition of state agency would apply there. And Section 1 in the most recent committee substitute now is directed at an agency in the executive branch of state government.
All right. Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Weaver.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else online or in the audience who would like to testify on House Bill 216? Seeing none, we will leave public testimony open because there were so many questions, and there's going to be probably another CS or something coming back to us. Back to the committee. Any further discussion on House Bill 216? Representative Grunberg?
Not on 216, but I just for the record, we'll be handing out the two amendments for the bill, one of the bills we're going to hear on Wednesday. There are two amendments. I'm not sure I'm going to offer either or both of them, but I wanted to give everybody plenty of advance notice.
All right. On House Bill 216, it will be coming back before the committee, when and the chairman will be back when we bring it back again. And any further questions of the sponsor before we close out today? Seeing none, thank you very much, Representative Wilson. House Bill 216 was our only order of business for the day, so at 2:12, we will be adjourned. Thank you very much.